And again, we've been taking a look at Romans chapter 8, the doctrine of our sonship. That's Romans 8, 14. And what we're looking at is how we are to be led by the Spirit, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at that issue of being led. And we're looking at that leading, what that entails of being led by the Spirit. And what's that all about? And that's what we want to take a look at. So if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, verse 14 is what we've been after and what we are primarily looking at here. But what I want to touch on is, you're looking at this, Paul is saying in verse 9, he says, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay, and we went over that, and we looked at that fact, and that the Spirit of God dwelling in you is not something that all saints have. That's not something that all saints, that once you become justified, that every justified man or woman in Christ is going to have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Now, the Spirit of Christ is something that they have, and they got that the moment they became justified. But the Spirit of God dwelling in them deals with the sanctifying issues of the doctrine. And then that's what you see here. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's the Spirit of Christ. There's a difference there. And then you see when he talks about verse 13, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And we're looking at the whole terminology about that led and after and things of that nature, because that's very crucial that we understand that. It's very crucial that you understand that, because you have to understand how God would have you to be as a son, and the idea that he's teaching you as father to son. And by you as father to son, he wants you to understand some very important things, that when you are being a product of your father, and that's what this is all about. If you being a product of your father, that he has chosen you to live on to him. And we see that all the time when you're in families. You have some families where if they have just say five members of the family, that some people say, well, there's always one black sheep, or there's always one that follows the design instruction of the father or mother or both. And one's got to be a chip off the old block, so to speak. And that's what we're going to see here. And we're going to see more of that next week when we look at that, the other part of that. They are the sons of God. But right now we're just looking at for as many as are led by the Spirit of God and what that means. So now, can you turn your Bibles to John? John chapter 16. Looking at John chapter 16, we want to take a look at some of the things that the Savior said, and that he said unto the Father, and actually as he said unto to his 11 at that time, and the instructions that he gave unto them. Because some of these things are crucial in understanding what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, John chapter 16, and let's look at verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, a lot of that can be a little bit confusing because of the way the Lord and Savior is saying this. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of doctrine being said right here. And we're going to start off in verse 7 here. When the Lord and Savior says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And he talks about when he goes away, the Comforter won't come unless he goes away. And when he departs, then he's going to send the Comforter. And he says, when he's come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And what the Comforter is the Word. The Comforter is the Word of God. And verse 9, it says, of sin because they believe not on me. And what the Word of God is going to do, the Comforter is going to do, it's going to put on display. It's going to show men as being guilty and show men as being ones who reject the truth. We see that over in Romans chapter 1. 1 and 2, we see man's disobedience and man's unwillingness to trust in the Son. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. That righteousness there is the Word of God. It shows the justness of God's Word. It shows God's Word is being just. And again, it says of righteousness because I go unto my Father. It shows it being right. It shows the perfection there. And verse 11, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. Now, this puts Satan on display and his angels, and it puts the world along with him on display. And see, that's what the Word of God does. The Bible that we have sitting in front of us, that's what it does. It puts on display not only the unjust man, because, one, we have to come out of the unrighteousness and unjust thinking that we have in order to become justified in trusting in that Savior. But it also puts on display the unjust man, and also it puts on display the righteousness. It puts on display Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father. And it puts on display Satan in this world. And these are all things that some people don't pay attention to, because one, they're being educated by this world instead of educated by the Father. Now we're looking at verse, what I'm after here is verse 12. Verse 12, the Lord says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall speak not of himself, but as whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And you know, I'm after both of those. The first part I'm going to deal with here is verse 12. And then I'm just going to deal with that. Then we're going to take a look at something. Then we're going to look at verse 13. Verse 12 here, The Lord said, I have yet many things to say unto you that ye cannot bear them now. Now, when you're looking at John 16 here, verse 12, when he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Doesn't that sound familiar to 1 Corinthians? Now, hold your place there in John 16. Hold your place in John 16 and come over to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and now with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And doesn't that sound familiar to what the Lord just said? That these saints weren't able to bear the doctrine that Paul was trying to give them? Paul was trying to give them the doctrine as according to their education, the way the Lord has designed that they would be educated. But these saints, because they were carnal and they were still babes, they couldn't ingest the meat doctrine that Paul wanted to give unto them. And that's the same thing the Lord said over here in 16, that there's a teaching right there. There's an actual curriculum. And some people don't like to use the word curriculum when it comes to dealing with grace or rightly dividing the word of truth. But that's what it is. It's a curriculum. It's a designed way that the student and the son learn, that they be educated. I mean, you can't be educated just haphazardly all over the Bible. When we ourselves go and speak to people, and when we get them justified, and then now we want to give them some more doctrine, we don't just say, hey, go just listen to so-and-so. What you ought to do, what we need to do, is give them the milk doctrine that they need first. Because they just can't just hit the ground running and start taking in 2 Timothy and Titus doctrine. They're going to get off on the wrong foot. They can't ingest it properly. So let's come back to John chapter 16 again. And we're going to pick it up there. John chapter 16. And let's look again at verse 12 again. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And again, the Lord says there's so many things he wants to tell the disciples, but they can't ingest it. They're not able to bear it now. But there's a point when they will. That shows you the design. That shows you the need to give the son and the saint a little bit at a time. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. Now, what's the Spirit of truth? We see that what Paul mentions to us that. That's the Word of God. And he's going to guide them. Doesn't that seem familiar to being led by the Spirit? And that guiding, being that guide, that's not to say when it talks about being led or being led down green pastures or guiding that it's going to be some mystic where it's going to be where you just pray for it and it's just going to, the word is going to come unto you. No, you have to want to be educated. You have to want to live unto your Father and be educated in his business. You have to want to be ones who are educated and to be like Father, like Son, and be taught properly the way God designed, where now you can not only do as this, think as this world wants you to think, but you can think like your Father thinks. You can have the mind of Christ. You can understand what's going on in this world and what you see, and I'm not talking about the crime that you see. I'm talking about the things that Paul said, the things that the Lord said through Paul that are going to bring this dispensation of grace to a close. the things that are being done in the name of God, that's meeting the objective of Satan more than a person blowing up a nursery. And it's something like that, that happens, that's going on a daily basis. Not just the fact of children being killed, but on a mass a scene, but it's happening all over the world. And that's being done, just those people are already given over to Satan. But what Satan is actively doing is what we've seen him do when Christ walked the earth. And that was he was counterfeiting the word of God. He was taking the word of God, and he had his men propagate it in not truth, but in a counterfeit. Now, again, verse 13, John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And that's what the Spirit did, the Holy Ghost did. And we have record of it in front of us in the Bible. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now you see that the Trinity right there? You see Jesus is saying that the Spirit is going to receive something of his and shall show it unto you. And it says all things that the Father hath is the Son's. And you see that there, that the Father's things are the Son's, and the Son's things are the Holy Spirit's. And a little while I shall see, and ye shall not see me again, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And that's the way it's designed to work. It's designed to work in unison as oneness. And that's the same way we're designed to work in oneness, as being members of one body, with no member having more precedent or grace or favor or any other thing over another saint. It's not the way it's designed to be. Now let's come, while we're in John, let's come to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at something here. Also, we're looking at this whole issue of being led by the Spirit. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Father and Son work, and he that loveth me keepeth, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave you with, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, when you're looking at what's being said here, and we went over this last week about the whole issue about weeks prior about the new covenant, New Testament was given unto the apostles here about that love and operating upon love, things of that nature. And this is what you see, but I want you to notice something fascinating here in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You notice that he's saying that if any man love me and keep my words, and my Father will love him, And we, what you see there is the Father and Son working together now. They're working together in the same business. And he said to make our abode with him. And that's the benefit that we have when we take the doctrine and let it effectually work within us, and we allow that, we allow the Spirit of God to dwell richly within us. And notice what's being said here. It's about that word. It's verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And that's what was talked about over in verse 16, chapter 16, about putting on display the ones that would not hearken unto that word. And the Holy Ghost, look at verse 26, and this is what I'm after here in this whole context, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And you see what was said over here to the nation, said over here to the apostles here? That Holy Ghost, that the Word of God is going to teach them and bring it to remembrance all the things that he has said unto him. It's going to be by that word. Now, you see what's being said here. Now, let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's come over to our dispensation. I want you to see the little parallel right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you notice about the teaching of the Holy Ghost here? You notice about how the natural man can now receive the things of the Spirit of God, the Word of God? And that Spirit of God is what we're to be led by. And we're to be led by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of this world, not by this carnal world, not by the natural man's words, but by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost's words that teaches us. And that's what he said, verse 13, which things we also speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now you notice the Holy Ghost is teaching it, but Paul is speaking it. And some today will feel that you got to catch the Holy Ghost and it's going to make you speak in tongues and things of that nature, which that's childish things. Those are childish things that ones don't have a full grasp of the truth that they partake in. But it's something that's taught. It's something that man teaches you how to do that, how to have the profane and vain babblings, and to feel that you're speaking in another language or a language of angels or whatever you feel. And that's not the case there. But when you're looking at this again, like he says here in verse 13, or verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And the things that we're talking about here, when I say the things that I said about how to be led by the Spirit, man would think that's foolishness. They'll say, what do you mean? You have to go back to Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 1, see what happens. Cloven tongues fell upon them and things of that nature. you guys are foolish talking that way. You have to show evidence. But again, these things are spiritually discerned. And it says, he that is spiritual, small case s, that's dealing with the word of God within your inner man, being led by the Spirit in your inner man, your spirit. Now you know how to judge all things. Now you know how to take what the word of God says and apply it to any situation that you have in whatever circumstance. That's the whole idea of the adoption of sons, being adopted as an adult son in Christ, whereas you can judge God, whereas you can judge this world and the affairs of it based upon God's word. And you taking God's word and allowing it to work from the inside out, but and not being treated as a child. Not doing something like looking for something like the ones do that feel that they are going to get the gift of the Holy Ghost, waiting for something or praying for something and waiting for that to happen as a child would do. You know, if God was doing things like that, if he was taking your circumstances away from you or waiting around to a special time to give you a gift here or give you a gift there, he couldn't fully allow his word to take effect in your life. You would always be the ones that some would call that child that's spoiled or feels entitled, because they'll never grow up. They'll always be dependent on that father or mother to pull them out of every situation. They'll never be able to take those decisions, that all that doctrine that the mother and father instilled in that child, they'll never be able to put it on display. Because every time they go out into the world, here comes the father tailing behind them. In any situation, before they get ready to make that decision, the father steps in and makes it for them. There's no sonship there. The child will never have to he'll never have a chance to grow. But again, that's what we see. We see that on a regular basis. Now when we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's come to verse 15 here. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ is being able to judge, being able to think like God does. When you're thinking like God does, now you're able to make those proper decisions. You're able to make those proper judgments. And regardless of what man thinks, your judgment making is going to be according to God's thinking. That's what it means to have in the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ, thinking like he would in any of these decisions that you make. And again, you're not going to find in the Bible what it's going to do if a person slashes your tires. But based upon what's in the Bible, you know you have to deal with these things based upon love. Your judging must be based upon a love doctrine in all you do. Now let's come back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 11 here. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we're looking at verse 11 here. Now we can look at what we just saw when you see if the Spirit of him. Now you know what the Spirit of him is. The Spirit of him is his word, Spirit of God. And we looked at that before, that the Spirit of God deals with your sanctification and that word dwelling in you. And the Spirit of Christ deals with what happened when you became justified. When you became justified, the Spirit of Christ is what you received. That's the Spirit that baptized you. That's when it says we are all, in Romans chapter 6, it talks about that Spirit there. And we're baptized into Christ's death. And when you look in here at verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And that's if you're allowing that word to dwell richly within you. And we're going to take a look at that verse also. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. See, it's by his Spirit. It's by his word. That's what's going to do the quickening. And that quickening, we looked at that last week about how you got some Bible versions, they change that word quicken to alive or give it life and things like that. But that does not give it the justice that it ought to have. Because the justice that it ought to have is that word quicken is to be made alive with a purpose, to be made alive with a direction. A quick motion. It's not just a quickening just to be made alive. But there's purpose there. And you see the purpose is of God. So, I mean, to use that word to just change it to alive or life doesn't give it the justice that it ought to have there. And it's by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This operation gets taken care of. And another thing, looking at verse 12 here, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And you got to understand that we are debtors, and it's not to our flesh, because we don't owe it anything. We don't owe the flesh a thing. What we do owe is we owe the Spirit. We owe to give ourselves unto God because of what he has done for us. And that's why we ought to be conformed, transformed in our mind, be renewed in our mind. Let's come back to Romans chapter 7 here. Let's come back to Romans chapter 7. I want to take a look at a couple things in Romans chapter 7. And we're going to look at the backdrop of the led by the Spirit, and how Paul taught that to us a chapter earlier, but he didn't use the same words as led. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 7, and let's look at verse 21. Romans 7, verse 21. Yeah, let's pick it up at 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I see yet another law in my mind, in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through the Lord Jesus, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, when we went over this earlier in Romans chapter 7, we looked at what the law of God was. Now, Paul said earlier in Romans 6:14 that we are not under the law, but under grace. That term under, we looked at, and we saw what that law of God was. The law of God is the law of grace. It's the law of grace and peace. And love, that's what's being taught. And that law of God that we see here is what we are to be operating upon. We are to be operating upon that law of God. So that's why Paul says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's zealous. There's a zealousness that he's come to delight after, to want to be taught, to want to use all his decision-making based upon love and grace and follow after that in this inward man. Then he says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And that law in his mind is the way. That's that when we do something and we become led by something or go after something, we can do it so in so much as it becomes a law unto us. And this law of his mind is following after the law of God in his mind. And like he says, he sees another law warring against the law of his mind, bringing him into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members. But when we looked at that, we're not debtors to our flesh. Yeah, Paul understands that there is a war going on because the members, the law of sin is in his members, is crying out. It's crying out to follow after this world, to give in to the lusts of the flesh. But like Paul says, we're not debtors to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh a thing. You don't have to give in to it. Your mind is separate from the members of your body. God is dealing with the mind, and he's dealing with the heart. And that's what he wants you to know. In verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He sees there's a difference. Same body, but he understands which one of the members are more important. That's the mind and the heart, because that's the one God is after. Now, Satan already has the members of your body, but if he can also get the mind to think like he does, and pretty soon, not only are you going to be going after this world and being led by this world, you're going to become of this world. And also, not just in the mind, but pretty soon, you're going to start becoming to love these things. You're going to start to delight in them. You're going to start to not only just delight in them, but you're going to start to have affections towards it. Not just the lust, but the affections. Meaning, you're going to love to do them things. It's going to touch your heart. You're going to have a zeal to get those things accomplished. So, that's what we're being taught here. Now we're running short on time here, but again, verse 25 here, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God." Do you see the mind there? That's what we're being taught over here, how to serve. You're not serving with the members. You're not serving him because you, as some people go and they feel they give to charity and that's serving God, or they feel if they, there's certain things. Again, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But we have to understand all our decision-making ought to be placed based upon giving and judgment making and charitable things like that, not just on certain occasions, but this is how we ought to think, and not just to do it because to get something from God, but we're doing it just because of what he's given unto us. We ought to delight in doing things like that. Well, let's come over to Colossians. Let's come over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 9. Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye are the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to that which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay. Now, when we're looking at this here, you're in the book of Colossians. You're at a point where you're dealing with ones who would be called a young man in doctrine. He'd be one, he wouldn't be a babe in Christ. He'd be able to ingest some meat doctrine. He'd be one who is not just going after the Spirit or going after the Word of God. Notice what is being said here. Let's look at verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. This saint at this stage is able to do that. He's able to put that off. He's fully equipped to be able to put that off. And also look at verse 10. And have put on the new man. He's able to put off and put on. This doctrine you won't find in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, or even Galatians. This saint is able to, he's more knowledgeable. He's able to do this. Look at verse 10 again. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This guy here is able. He's being renewed in knowledge. He's already begun his education. He's already cried Abba Father. He's already he's sitting down and he's going to the classrooms daily. And I'm not just talking about Bible study here and there. I'm talking about in the classroom with his father. He's renewed in knowledge. And what knowledge? The old man knowledge is being replaced with the new man knowledge. That's what you see here. And when you're looking at what he says here, verse 12, put on therefore. In other words, in view of what I just told you, because this is who you are now, you are that new man, which is renewed in knowledge. He's like, well, therefore, in view of that, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. And now he's going to give some things that this saint and son can use as the fruits of the Spirit. These are the benefits that comes from using these things. And notice, these all are going to be dealing with love. They're all going to be dealing with love. They're all going to be dealing with the New Testament. They're all going to be dealing with that law of God, the law of God operating upon the law of God that Paul tells us in Romans 6, 7, and 8. When Paul says, so with the mind I serve the law of God, that's what he's asking this saint here to do. And when you see this, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And I'm going to stop there because notice everything's being said here is things when you just say, for instance, if someone was to break your window, well, what do I do? Maybe I'll recompense them, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? No. You're not operating upon the law of Moses. You're operating upon the law of God. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. You're under the law of grace, the law of God. And with that, you do as the elect of God would act, how the holy would act, how the beloved would act. You operate in your bowels, mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. There's your motivation. That's why you do it. You don't do it because, well, if I was to do that to him, I'm going to go to hell, or I'm going to let God handle it. I'm going to put it in God's hands. He did this to me. God don't like ugly. God don't like for you to get one of his anointed. You know, God going to get you and things like that. You know, that's the way this world teaches. That's not how the Holy Ghost teaches, but that's how this world teaches. And notice what he says in verse 14. And above all these, put on charity. Again, this is something that a saint at this stage can do. He can put on charity. Not just love, but he can put on the expression of love, which is charity. And so he can not just follow after it or learn the doctrine of it. This, he already knows that. He's being asked to put this on, to remember. He's lighting a spark under these saints. Put it on. Act like a man. Like Paul says, quit ye like men, which is the bond of perfectedness. That's how God would have his sons to operate upon. When you go to Philemon, notice what's in Philemon. It's love doctrine. Paul doesn't have much to say to Philemon because he's already operating upon love. And we're going to we'll look at that in a second. If we have time here, we'll run out of time here. But he says, which is the bond of perfectness, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And you notice it says in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Not just, you know, let your heart be led by it and the things like that and let it dwell in your heart, but let it rule. Let it not leave. Let it reign supreme over what? Over Satan's and this world's ways. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let your hearts be ruled by the law of God, the peace of God here. And just like Jesus said, when he said, the peace I leave you with, not as this world teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches. That's the peace that you ought to have. That's the peace you ought to be giving, not from some self-help book or Christian counseling or someone just giving you their view on what this world, on what godliness is all about. Let the Holy Ghost teach you what this word is about, how you ought to be taught and educated. And verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not just follow after, be led by the Spirit of God or the Word of God. Not just to follow after it, but let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Now, notice we looked at Romans chapter 8 when it talks about letting it dwell in you, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Paul uses the terminology richly here in all wisdom because the saint can operate upon that, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, could he tell that to the Romans, that the Romans should teach one another? Could he tell that to the Corinthians, the Galatians? No, he couldn't. He's saying that they can allow the word of Christ to dwell in them richly in all wisdom. Not just in all wisdom, but to have the ability to be able to teach others and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. But that's what we find here. And, you know, we're getting to closing here. But, again, when you're looking at this, this is the doctrine of the law of God here. This is how we ought to be educated. And, again, let's come to Philemon, the book of Philemon. We're going to look at this real quick. because we now know we're running out of time here. But let's come to Philemon, and let's go over. Let's go to verse 16. Verse 16. Not now as a servant, but as above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest me even thine own self besides thee. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Okay, now what I'm after is the last verse there, verse 21. Paul says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul knew that when he's dealing with Philemon, that not only is Philemon going to walk in love, agape love towards this saint, but he knows this saint is going to abound in love and charity. He's going to do more than Paul says, and Paul would even think, because he knows what this guy he's calling a brother is operating upon. He's operating upon love doctrine. He's operating upon the law of God in his decision-making. That's what this is about. It's a decision-making situation here. Now, with that, I'm going to close. And next week, we're going to take a look at the idea of being a son of God. When it talks about not only we know how to be led by the Spirit, but how to be a son of God. We're going to look at that next week. I'm going to open things up for the Q&A.